Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Kevin Durant is tremendous.
Yeah.
Arguably the best player in the world. Deserving of the last two NBA Finals MVP awards. He was that good. And he is tremendous. However, right now, Kevin Durant's worst nightmare is coming to pass. We'll see if it continues. They may lose to Portland for all we know. I doubt it, but possible. Or they may lose to Milwaukee for all we know in the NBA Finals, or Toronto if they get there. Doubt it. I'm picking Golden State to go all the way with or without Kevin Durant. But here's why it's his worst nightmare. And look, I'm sure that on a certain level, Kevin Durant is pulling for Golden State, his teammates of the last 3 years, to win every single game. I really believe that.
Yeah.
But he's a human being. And as much as I love you, Jonas, well, you filled in for me before. And if I was off for 3 weeks, for whatever reason, I was sick for 3 weeks, and you filled in with Rob, and the show just took off, right? And callers were calling in, Jonas, it's better with you. We don't need Chris. You know, you and Rob, it should be you guys. That would hurt.
Yeah.
I want you to do well, but I don't want you to do better without me. I want to be missed. I want to be needed. And that's because I'm a human being. And so is Kevin Durant. And so, when you see the Golden State Warriors go out there, and what is it now? They won the last three playoff games without Kevin Durant. They're more fun to watch. Steph Curry and Draymond Green are playing their best basketball of the year. And they are overall 32-4 without Kevin Durant in his 3 years there. That's a 73-win pace over an 82-game season. Sound familiar? Now people are wondering, do they even need KD? And here's my main point, Jonas, before you weigh in. This is why it's KD's worst nightmare. Because even though, and I'm going to say this, like, there is no basketball person, let alone player, on the planet that doesn't respect Kevin Durant's game. Every player in the league knows he's a bad boy, that he is arguably the best player on the planet, arguably a top 10 player of all time, arguably one of the top three or four offensive players scores we've ever seen. However, in talking to some players, heck, Enes Kanter, who happens to be playing for Portland, he came on the Odd Couple a couple of weeks ago and said, players around the league really do put an asterisk by Kevin Durant's two championships. I talked to another player today who said the exact same thing. He said, players around the league, I'm telling you, oh, they respect his game. They know he's tough. They know he's awesome. But they looking at those championships a little bit funny because they know I could have went there and got those rings with that team. And Jonas, as we heard Clyde Frazier say the same thing, there's an asterisk by him. And if people were already belittling to a degree the two championships that Kevin Durant has won with Golden State, what in the world do you think they're going to think of those two championships if, and it may be a big if the Golden State Warriors win it all without him.
Yeah. And that's, and to your point, it is his worst nightmare, and here's why. Because they won one previously without him. If there was just the 73-9 season and they lost and then they added him and won two more, no big deal. But because we saw this in 2015-2016, and look, if you really tried hard enough, maybe you could diminish that title for the Warriors because there were some injuries the Cavs were dealing with. Cleveland had a 2-1 series lead at one point in that series. To Kevin Durant, because he is so sensitive and because he knows the narrative and he's watching and he's listening and he hears everything, oh yeah, you bet your ass this is his worst nightmare. Of course, I mean, this is a guy who's had to deal with this the past couple of years. Yep. He chased rings because he was tired of hearing a narrative. He got to Golden State and all he's heard is a narrative. And now he gets injured and they're about to win possibly another championship with him missing the final back end of the entire playoff run. And what's he going to hear? The narrative. So he can't escape this. And while you say, look, it's human nature, not only is it human nature, it's Kevin Durant nature. He's already given you example after example of this bothers me. I know what's being said and I'm tired of it. And I just go back to something that he said, and it's similar to something that Aaron Rodgers said after he won a Super Bowl. I think these guys build up championships in their mind so much, and then sometimes you get it, and it's not really all that great. Like, you think something out there, you know, the brass ring, whatever you want to call it, is the end-all, be-all of the discussion, and then you get it, and you go, is this it? And there's been two times that that's happened recently in sports. One of them was Aaron Rodgers acknowledging on a plane after they won the Super Bowl, Lombardi Trophy sitting right next to him and thinking to himself, is this all it is? That's it? You know, he just sort of now having to recalibrate and think about what his mission really is. And Kevin Durant has said as much the same thing a couple of different times. He finally got that championship and he just didn't feel the validation that he thought he would. So now he's going to be defending himself. He's going to be hearing the naysayers. He's going to be hearing the conversation. The whole argument for are the Warriors better without Kevin Durant? Here's what I say to that. I don't think that they're better. They are not better without Kevin Durant. The problem is they're still better than almost everybody else.
Right.
And that's the discussion. And so when you go on and you are able to accomplish this without him, all it is going to knock him down another peg. And that's, look, we can have the debate. We can have the conversation all we want. It doesn't even come close to the internal debate that he's had within himself the past several years. And this is a guy who's already got two rings.
No question. And you hit it on the head. Like, whether they're better with him, without him or not, and I agree with you, I mean, what he does is give them the safety valve.
Oh, yeah.
Draymond Green alluded to it in his comments today. You know, look, they don't have to be perfect in their execution when Kevin Durant's there. Mm-hmm. Because you know you can just give it to the 7-footer and he can go get a bucket whenever he wants. So that's great. Without him, though, their execution does have to be close to perfect. And they're able to do it, and they roll. But to your point, if they're not better without him, so what? If they're still better than everybody else in the league, that's the point. Yes. That's why people are looking funny at him. Because nobody cares if they're better without you. They're just saying, dude, they don't need you.
Yeah, it's like, let me ask you this. Do you think he's better than Larry Bird? Would you put him up higher than Larry Bird? Because I would.
Right now, no. And here's why. Because the one thing we do know about Bird is that he could lead his own team.
Okay, that's fair.
Now, I do think he has the potential. Like, I'm going to leave it open that he could one day pass Larry Bird. But right now, I would give Bird the edge just because. Like, Bird, we know he had Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale and Dennis Johns. He had some great teammates. But when he went to Boston, that team had won 29 games the year before he got there. Check that for me, Rob G, but I'm pretty positive it was 29 games.
Yeah, they were bad.
He gets, and they had some old Hall of Fame, like Tiny Archibald, but they were older by then. They weren't, you know, what they used to be. And when he gets there, they win 60 or close to 60 games, 60-ish games. They don't win the championship, but it was an immediate turnaround. Rob G, you got that? 29, and then his rookie year, they were around 60, right? 61?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Larry Bird, I would put Bird ahead of Durant right now, but give Durant the chance to pass him. This is the crux of the matter. If he goes somewhere and shows he can lead his own team to a championship.
Here's why I say that. So when you're in the conversation, and it's a reasonable conversation with Larry Bird, means you kind of done something so far in your career. He's only 30 years old. He's got 2 championships. He's got 2 MVPs. He outplayed LeBron in both of those. He's got millions upon millions and millions of dollars. He's got more coming this offseason. He might win a 3rd ring, and he's sitting at home having a drink while everybody else is celebrating because they don't need him. He's got everything he could possibly want, and yet somebody like Cuttino Mobley posts something like we're having a conversation about right now on Twitter, and Cuttino Mobley says a minute later, Kevin Durant responds in his DMs. Like, if you're not happy at this point with all of that already, and you're only 30, and you've got more of your career to go, you're probably never going to be satisfied or happy. So this is this conversation and this battle that everybody has, like we're having about Kevin Durant. I'm telling you, as I said before, it's going on inside him worse than any of us. And he's still struggling to find what's going to make him make this life or whatever this career is happy for him.
No, that's a great way to put it. And the one shining, light at the end of the tunnel, I guess, for KD in this is obviously they may not win it without him. And that would certainly validate the last 2 years that he's done. But if they do win it, it does give, like, nobody will be able to criticize him for leaving.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be completely understandable if he goes to New York, and everybody will get it. Like, they win it without you, you need to leave. And so it's going to be very fascinating how this thing plays out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Now, look, Giannis, we're going to get into a hit. The sky's the limit with this guy, obviously. But I don't see anyone going on the type of run LeBron did as far as 8 straight finals. I mean, even Michael Jordan didn't do that. He took, the 2 years off. He was a bit exhausted mentally and maybe even physically after each three-peat, and it is taxing to go to 8 straight finals. I think that's why LeBron didn't mind. That's part of it. Why he didn't mind going to a Lakers team that he knew wasn't ready to compete for a championship this year, because I think he, while he wanted to win, I think part of him welcomed, like, look, it's been exhausting, and if I don't get back to the finals, I'm cool with it for a year. And especially if what happens this summer, what we think will happen this summer happens, Jonas. If Kevin Durant goes to New York, New York's going to get better. Philadelphia's going to get better. Those two teams, I think Milwaukee's going to be awesome for the next decade as long as Giannis is still there. But with Philadelphia and Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, assuming he improves, and then Kevin Durant and Kyrie or somebody else going to New York, it is not going to be easy for Giannis to go to finals after finals after finals. I think he'll go to some, including this year, but I don't think it'll be anything close to 8 straight, maybe not even 4 straight or 3 straight.
Yeah, and look, you know this. You've covered sports long enough. Any great team, any team that wins a championship, any team that wins multiple championships or goes on a long title run, you know what comes with being really great? Getting a lot of things to go your way. You need things to kind of break your way from time to time. It's not that you're lucky. Things just happen to go your way. A bounce here, a loose ball here, a missed shot there. I mean, it's a fraction of an inch, and you need certain things to go your way during that time, and you've got to be able to capitalize on him. You just can't expect that somebody's going to be able to capitalize on a weak conference or other things that have gone wrong in the East like LeBron did and like the Cavs did during the course of his time there. And then we also, I mean, look, if Kawhi Leonard can hit a free throw at the end of that game in the finals, what are we really saying about that run in Miami? We're talking 1-3 in the NBA finals as opposed to the 2-2 that they went. I just think that the East got better, yes. This was the year, or last year was the year, rather, for the Celtics to win a title. Last year was the year. But unfortunately, injuries didn't go your way. Kyrie Irving got injured, and so did Gordon Hayward. So last year was the year for the Celtics to win the East and really take advantage of a weaker Cavs team that had to make all sorts of moves and basically put Band-Aids over the roster to try and get into the finals. Much like I said, this year, this was the year for the Houston Rockets to make a run because you had a weakened Warriors team. You had injury concerns when you had DeMarcus Cousins and Kevin Durant go out, and they couldn't capitalize. So now, for sure, Milwaukee's in the mix, and then depending on what happens with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and who matches up where, look, Brooklyn looks a lot better. Philadelphia, we'll wait and see how much those guys progress during the course of the season. Oladipo, if he comes back and he's healthy. Indiana looked really good for a long time. So I think the East is getting stronger. LeBron getting out just in time without having to deal with everything he was dealing with the past 8-9 years.
No question about it. And look, if Milwaukee, and some people actually think now they're the favorites to win it all. If they win this championship, it will be virtually unprecedented what they're doing. To go from an eighth seed, the 16th best record in the NBA last year, without any major additions to the roster. Now, Brooke Lopez, they added, but I'm talking about like an all-star type addition. The coach was the major addition, Mike Budenholzer. But to do what they've done, that's virtually unprecedented. We think of Isaiah Thomas's Pistons getting beaten by Bird Celtics time and time again and then finally getting over the hump. Jordan being beaten by the Pistons and then finally getting over the hump. LeBron individually suffering his setbacks before finally getting over the hump. Kobe and Shaq even having their bad losses before finally getting over the hump. There is really none of that for these Milwaukee Bucks. If they win this championship, I mean, it will be incredible and really speak highly of Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When Jason Kidd got fired, I was a little bit surprised because they look like they were an improving team, a developing team, and then for some reason they just decided as an organization, Jason Kidd's got to go. And you thought him taking a team like that and sort of rebuilding them and getting young players to play well, you figured that he had some job security, and he didn't. And then they bring in this Mike Budenholzer guy, and now they're better than they were before. So credit to the Milwaukee Bucks for recognizing that they had a flaw there that maybe some people didn't see on the outside, and they made the change. Kind of similar to what Golden State did with Mark Jackson, to where we were all surprised. Wait a second, you're firing Mark Jackson. He's got these guys playing well, and they're winning 50 games, and you've kind of been historically a bad franchise, and you're getting rid of him, and you're bringing in Steve Kerr, who was last seen on TNT. I don't get it. They recognized something that maybe we didn't on the outside. There was a coaching flaw, and that could have just been all that they really needed to push him over the edge, and maybe that's why they're playing so well.
What do you think is Giannis's ceiling? I mean, I'm looking at this guy. He's 24 years old. You mentioned it, the improvements, his three-point shot. I mean, it's not great, but it's a much improved over last year and the years before. I think in 2 years, he'll be a very competent outside shooter. I got to be honest, this kid might, especially if they win it this year, he might be able to insert himself down the road into the GOAT conversation. That's a long way from now, but I'm just thinking, sky's the limit for this guy.
You know what I love about him? He actually wants to polish his game. Jason Terry told a story yesterday on Fox Sports 1/Fox Sports Radio, in which he was a teammate with Giannis, I believe, was last year or the year before, and there was a regular season loss. And before Jason Kidd could come in and talk to the team, Giannis had already taken off and did a 3-hour workout in the gym because he was so upset with how he played. Just a regular season game, not a big deal at all. He actually cares. There's some athletes out there who are so gifted, and he is so gifted, that they don't feel the need to nurture or polish their game. And the adage I always give people is
Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons is one of them. But in boxing, you remember how dominant Roy Jones was? Roy Jones? Roy Jones could go out, no joke, could play a 3-hour pickup basketball game, then 4 hours later go to the arena and knock somebody out on a body shot on HBO. That's how good Roy Jones was. Guess who was still, at that same time, still fighting, but didn't have the talent, naturally, that Roy Jones did? And that was Bernard Hopkins. Guess who was fighting still into their 50s, and guess who was just taking whatever fights they could get to try and pad their record later in their career? Bernard Hopkins figured out how to fight. He fought smart. He polished his game, and he aged better than Roy Jones did because of that. I think Giannis is going to age well if he's a guy who says, look, I know I can get to the basket anytime I want, and I can outpower people, but I want to work on my skill. And if he does that, I think we're talking all-time great potential with Giannis. I really, really do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
All right, it's The Odd Couple, Chris Broussard and Jonas Knox in for Rob Parker. And
wow!
Jonas, it was some big news. Rob Parker's still around, still makes his presence felt, right?
Rack him!
Oh, come on, Chris.
We can't get away from him.
You gotta have the bones. You gotta have the structure.
Well, Jonas, speaking of structure, I guess the Lakers disagree with Rob because they don't think you gotta have the structure. News coming out today that the Lakers will not hire a president of basketball operations to replace Magic Johnson. Instead, Rob Pelinka will remain as the general manager and report directly to the owner, Jeannie Buss. Now, if you were doing a job and they don't replace you, what does that say about what Magic was doing?
Oh, you remember back in 2009 when there was a recession, all these jobs got axed all over the place, not just in radio, but everywhere, because the country was really hurting financially. And I remember having conversations with people and them just saying, yeah, you know, they're just going to wait until, you know, the economy comes back and then they'll hire a bunch of people back on. And I said, listen, if they figure out during this time period that they can do it and they don't really need that position, they're going to go ahead and do it and not spend what they needed to spend.
Right.
If the Lakers have figured out that they can pretty much do whatever Magic was doing without having to even pay anybody like Magic Johnson and avoid the drama, they're going to do it. And that seems to be what they're going, the direction they're going in this time.
Right. No question. Now, this news doesn't surprise me at all.
No.
I knew this was what was happening because it would have been idiotic to go any other way when you go ahead and hire a coach before having your front office in place. So we knew that Rob Pelinka was going to run basketball operations, whatever title they gave him. Kurt Rambis will remain a special advisor is, I believe, the title they're going to give him. But he's essentially second in charge. He's essentially Rob Pelinka is the president and Kurt Rambis is the general manager. My thing is, you should just give them those titles.
It's crazy.
Because this looks, look, I know nothing would be different structurally, but this looks like you're still flying by the seat of your pants. We're not doing anything differently. We don't have a president. We just got a GM, and Kurt Rambis is a friend, so he'll advise and he'll be in the interviews for free agents and coaches and all that, but he doesn't really have any title. You know, I mean, like, give it structure. President Rob Pelinka, general manager Kurt Rambis, so you look like you're organized, even if you aren't.
Can you believe the fact that as it stands right now, all the stuff we heard and talked about Dan Gilbert, that the Cleveland Cavs are a more well-run organization than the Lakers?
Like, if
you ask LeBron James a year ago, hey, who's going to be a more well-run organization in a year from now, Cleveland or LA? He'd laugh in your face and said, trust me, I was just here. I know how bad it is. They're
right.
A disaster in LA. At least Cleveland has some sort of a plan. Be critical all you want, but you don't hear half the drama and half the crap coming out of Cleveland that you've heard coming out of LA.
No question. Now, it obviously could be rectified to a certain degree because you got a great player in LeBron. If they can get Anthony Davis. What I'm told, I was talking to some people today, Jonas, I'm told we know that the owner of the Saints came out. There's a report that she's like, under no circumstances are we dealing with the Lakers in a trade for Anthony Davis. She has come out and disputed that the report. I'm told general manager David Griffin did not want to deal with the Lakers. However, Alvin Gentry, the head coach, who's very close with Griffin and Griffin respects him, Gentry really likes Lonzo Ball. He really likes Brandon Ingram. Gentry's thinking a lineup of Lonzo Ball, Drew Holiday, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson right. and Kyle Kuzma could do some damage on both sides of the floor. So that's good news for the Lakers. Maybe they'll be able to pull off that trade.